Welcome to episode 955 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive. 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living.
Having completed his third missionary journey, Paul sets off for Jerusalem. After tearful farewells at Miletus, he and his companions stop briefly at Tyre and Ptolemais. In Tyre, they spend a week with fellow believers who warn the apostle of impending danger in Jerusalem. Despite their pleas, Paul remains determined to proceed. Arriving in Caesarea, they are welcomed into the home of Philip the Evangelist, where they stay for several days.
Brothers Paul, Timothy, and Luke, it has been a blessing to have you all in our home. Your stories of the Lord's work throughout the world have truly strengthened our faith.
And yours, Brother Philip. Your hospitality and the gift of prophecy from your daughters have been a comfort on our journey.
Brother Agabus, what is the meaning of this?
Brother Paul, Philip, I'm sorry for intruding like this, but the Holy Spirit has shown me an urgent vision concerning you.
Agabus, the prophet, strides towards Paul, taking his belt and binding his own hands and feet with it.
This is what the Holy Spirit says. The Jews in Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles.
A hush falls over the room. Everyone stares at Paul, their faces etched with concern.
Good apostle, surely this is a warning. Must you still go to Jerusalem?
Please reconsider, Paul. We fear for your safety.
Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.
Then, Brother Paul, may the Lord's will be done.
Paul travels to Jerusalem. There he is recognized in the temple by some Jews from Asia, who accuse him of teaching against the Jewish law and bringing Gentiles into the temple, thereby defiling it. A riot ensues, and Paul is seized by the crowd. The Roman authorities intervene, and Paul is arrested to prevent further violence. Paul is initially held in the Antonia Fortress in Jerusalem. He requests to speak to the crowd.
Brothers and fathers, hear me. I am a Jew, born in Tarsus, but raised here in Jerusalem under Gamaliel's strict teaching of our ancestors' law. I was zealous for God, just as you are today. I persecuted those who followed the way, imprisoning and seeking their death. But on the road to Damascus, a light from heaven blinded me, and the voice of Jesus spoke, asking why I persecuted him. Blinded, I was led to Damascus, where Ananias, a devout man, restored my sight. The Lord Jesus told him that he had chosen me to be a witness to all about what I have seen and heard. So why do I stand here before you? Because God himself has called me to speak to you.
The crowd listens restlessly.
And not to you only. The Lord Almighty has also called me to preach to the Gentiles.
At this point, the crowd can restrain themselves no longer. They react violently to his mention of the Gentiles, prompting the Roman commander to take Paul into the barracks for his protection. Sunlight filters through high windows, casting long shadows across the marble floor. Paul stands in the center, surrounded by a semicircle of Sanhedrin members, their faces a mixture of anger and curiosity.
Brothers, I have lived my life before God in all good conscience up to this day.
Strike him on the mouth.
A guard raises his hand and slaps Paul across the face. The sound echoes through the chamber.
God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. You sit to judge me according to the law, yet you yourself violate the law by commanding that I be struck.
Some of the council members murmur in disapproval of the high priest's actions.
He is a Roman citizen. It is unlawful to strike him without a trial.
You dare insult God's high priest?
Brothers, I did not realize that he was the high priest, for it is written, "You shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people."
A tense silence fills the chamber. Paul, sensing the division within the council, changes tactics.
Men of Israel, I am a Pharisee, descended from Pharisees. I stand on trial because of the hope of the resurrection of the dead.
Chaos erupts as the Pharisees and Sadducees, who hold opposing views on the afterlife, engage in a heated argument.
We find no evil in this man. Perhaps a spirit or an angel has spoken to him.
There is no resurrection, nor angels, nor spirits.
The council members shout over each other, voices rising in a cacophony of disagreement. The high priest orders the guards to remove Paul from the chamber. He is led away as the scene descends into pandemonium, leaving his fate uncertain. Soon thereafter, a plot to kill Paul is discovered, prompting the apostles' transfer to Caesarea. In Caesarea, Paul appears before Antonius Felix, a Roman procurator of Judea known for his ruthless and opportunistic nature. Intrigued by Paul's teachings, he hopes for a bribe in exchange for releasing him. But desiring to appease the Jewish authorities, he keeps Paul detained. 2 years later, when recalled to Rome, the case is still unresolved. Succeeding Felix is Porcius Festus, a comparatively just and fair ruler. He inherits Paul's case, and while recognizing the apostles' innocence, faces pressure from Jewish leaders to condemn him. Festus suggests Paul be tried in Jerusalem. Paul, asserting his rights as a Roman citizen, appeals to Caesar. Festus grants the appeal. Paul is sent to Rome under custody of a centurion named Julius. The journey is perilous, including a shipwreck on Malta. After spending the winter on the island, Paul and his companions eventually reach Rome, 3 years after he is initially detained in Jerusalem. Upon arriving in Rome as a prisoner, Paul is allowed to live by himself, guarded by a soldier. He immediately seeks out local Jewish leaders, explaining his circumstances and the charges against him, which are related to his teachings rather than any crime against Rome. Despite imprisonment, Paul invites Jews to visit him, where he explains and testifies about the kingdom of God.
This is the one whom we have been waiting for. This is the one about whom Isaiah prophesied.
He tries to convince them about Jesus, citing the law of Moses and the prophets. Some Jews are persuaded by Paul's arguments, others disbelieve, leading to Paul quoting Isaiah's prophecy about hard hearts and declaring the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, who will listen. Paul stays in his rented house, welcoming all who come to see him. He preaches the kingdom of God and teaches about Christ with boldness and without hindrance, despite physical confinement. Paul's experience in Rome exemplifies how physical limitations or hardships cannot restrain the Spirit's work or the spread of the gospel. His time under house arrest is a period of fruitful ministry, not just a time of confinement. Paul adapts to his circumstances and continues to passionately share the gospel. This teaches us that our calling to serve and witness does not depend on ideal circumstances or freedom from constraints. Instead, it challenges us to be faithful and to make the most of the situation we find ourselves in, trusting that God can work through us regardless of our physical conditions. Paul's willingness to reach out to the local Jewish community immediately upon his arrival in Rome, despite being a prisoner, reflects a relentless commitment to his mission. This dedication is a powerful reminder of the priority of spreading the gospel, encouraging believers today to pursue our calling with similar zeal and determination. Paul's openness in welcoming all who visited him illustrates a powerful form of ministry that turns barriers into bridges. His house becomes a place of teaching and sharing the good news, demonstrating that our homes can be centers of spiritual life and outreach. Paul's time in Rome teaches us to rely on God's sovereignty and to view every situation as an opportunity to minister and glorify God. During his imprisonment, Paul writes several epistles known as the prison epistles, including Ephesians. These letters provide insights into his thoughts, teachings, and the encouragement he offers to early Christian communities.